It says, now the lords of the Philistines. So far where we're at right here is he's already been captured. He's lost his strength. His hair's been cut. He fell into the lust of the world, the lust he had after woman, and the strength of God left him. He's been captured. His eyes have been gouged out. He's blind. He can't see. And now this is where we go on. It says, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to the God, their God, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, to the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. It says, so it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him in the pillars and performed. I've heard it say that he danced for them, but basically it meant that it made them laugh, that he did things to make them laugh. That was what their performance was. And they stationed him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, he said, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. So he's blind, he can't see anything. And he asked him for this. It says, now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson perform. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So this was his calling, was to deliver the people from the hand of the Philistines. And what he finally has realized here, that his whole life he had been living for his flesh. And he come to realize, you know what? The things that have happened to me is because of my own failures, because of the things that I've done, that I've started looking at myself. He said, but you know what? Following after God, doing what he's called me to do in my life is worth more than my own life. Being where I'm supposed to be with God, doing what he's called me to do is worth so much more. He says, so Samson let the Philistines die, and he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his entire life. And it says, and his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years, sorry. You know, only twice in there do we hear about Samson going to God in prayer. His life, he had all this strength. And always said, God came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But twice do we hear it that he came and finally asked God for something. But the problem here is, just as a lot of times we do, the only times that he came before God and said, God, you're my strength, was when he needed something. Was when he came before God when he had no water and he asked God, God, bring water out of these rocks. God, that you've just delivered me from all these people. He said, before he's crying out saying, God, look what I did. Look how strong I did. I killed thousands of men. Look at me. And then when he got to the point that he had no water and he thirsted and he was afraid he was going to die, all of a sudden his attitude changed. His attitude changed, and he went before God and said, God, you have delivered me out of this. You have helped me conquer these people, God, because of your strength that is in me. And when he realized he was going to die of thirst, he came before God with a change of heart. Then he went back to his ways again, and when he gets captured, when he's got nowhere else to turn, he goes before God again and says, God, give me strength. When he realizes, wow, my strength has left me again. There's nothing I can do. It's when he went before the Lord crying out, God, help me one last time. How many times in our own life do we do that? That God gives us strength to get through something? That God delivers us out of something? That God provides for us? And all of a sudden we're like, look how good I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look at me. And then when things start crumbling, when things in our lives start falling apart, we go back to God and say, God, I need you. I've been there. I've done it. But the change of his heart at the end was what it was all about. That his heart truly changed, realizing, God, your will is more important to me. Where I am with you is more important than my happiness on this world, than anything that this world could do for me. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a fall before we realize it. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes us losing everything. It takes us being blinded so we can see the truth. And the same way with Samson, that it was when his life was endangered that he turned to God. Both times was when he was weak, but the great part is both times God came through for him. Both times when he came to God, God was there. Just imagine what he could have done in his life if he would have lived a life of prayer. He went before God twice, and God miraculously changed the situation. That God miraculously came through. But imagine if he came to God in every instance of his life. If he came to God when he was living high, when everything was great. If he came to God no matter what. Imagine what he could have done. Imagine where he could have gone. But a lot of times, our own strengths become our weakness. A lot of times we begin to look at our strengths instead of where our strength comes from, and it becomes our own weakness. That we must look at where everything we have comes from. You know, let's talk about his parents for a moment. His parents, I believe, was the true reason all of this came to pass. That at the beginning, as we spoke about on Mother's Day, was how his mother began to live out the plan God had for Samson's life. That his mother was the reason that all this began to come to pass, because she was obedient. But why did their promises come to pass? Because they stood on it and obeyed the words spoken to them. They could have looked at the situation and said, wow, my son's lost it. This is it. He's turned against everything that he's not supposed to turn against. Well, I thought I heard from God. How many times does God speak something to our lives? Does promises come passing here? And we think, well, maybe that wasn't for me. Maybe God doesn't want me to prosper. Maybe God doesn't want that for my children. But she never gave up on her son. She never gave up on what God had called her son to do. A lot of times in our own lives, we look at the situation. We look at the problems in our lives and we say, well, I've been praying for it, but I guess that wasn't God's will. Or I've been praying for it, but I don't know where God is. But if you're praying for something today, you're waiting for something to come past in your life, just because all odds are against you, just because it looks impossible, doesn't mean it is. Because we have a miracle worker on our side. We have somebody that's on our side that says, you know what? A lot of times I'm waiting to see where your faith is. I'm waiting to test you so we can have a greater miracle in your life. I'm waiting to show something so others can go, wow, wow. Look what you've been through. Look what you got out of. Nobody else could have handled that. Nobody else could have gotten through that. But when you leave somebody on your side that is greater and stronger than any of your weaknesses, you can overcome them. You can overcome them. It doesn't matter what comes against you. That a lot of times, why he says in your trials to boast, to get excited when you're going through trials, because you know that's when God's going to come through. Because you know that's what's going to make you stronger in the end. Because you know there's another side. You know there's something more. And you know what? Even if you die in it, who cares, because you're going to be in a greater place. Who cares, because you have the God on your side and you lived for him. I would much rather live my life for God and die young and die immediately than to live against God and have a long life. Who cares about this life on this world? Who cares about all this? It's about you and God, your relationship with Him. If you want your promise to come through, stand on it and believe for it. Act as if they have already came to pass. Act as if they already came to pass. Because as we preached before, they go from believing to knowing. That when you know that God's going to come through, you begin to act differently. You begin to change the way you act. There's no more moaning and groaning and weeping around. You rejoice because you know the victory is to come. You rejoice because you know. It's the same thing, for example, you get a call that you know a check's coming in the mail. Maybe you were broke and all of a sudden you're like, okay, finally, my check's in the mail. I can begin to walk things out. I can begin to buy this or pay this. I know it's coming, so you've got a relief. You're like, ah, finally, it's on its way. And that's the way it needs to be with God, knowing that it's on His way. Knowing that the victory is there to come. Knowing that there's something more, and you go, okay, awesome. And you begin to live out something different in your life. When you know it's on its way, you begin to act that way. You begin to change the way you act. What's awesome is even when he messed up, his parents stood with faith that everything would come to pass. That everything would come to pass. God knew and had a plan from the beginning. He knew what Samson would do. That's what makes the promises so great and so much easier to believe them. Because if there's a promise for your life, if God has a promise for you, whatever it may be in your life, God already knew what you were going to do. He already knew what you were going through ahead of time before he even made the promise. So a lot of times we know there's something for our life. We know God has greater plans for us. We know there's something more, but we begin to doubt it. But if you realize God already knew what you were going to go through, he already knew the situation that was going to happen, then you can begin to believe, well, God already knew that this was going to come against me. God already knew the problems that were going to happen in my life. So you begin to grab a hold of that promise. You begin to change your life, change the way you're acting. You know, the Bible talks about if you believe, confess with your tongue and believe that God is who he says he is, that Jesus died and rose again, that you'll go to heaven, that you'll have eternal life. But I think the problem is today in the church is a lot of people don't truly believe. They say they believe something, but when you believe something, you begin to act it out in your life. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again for you on that third day, you'd be excited about it. You'd get excited and you're like, wow, if God can do that, he can do anything in my life. If God can bring him down to be born of a virgin, if he can do that to raise him up, this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for my sins and didn't think twice, and then he can raise him up from the grave, what could he do in my life? What great things could he do for me that your life will begin to revolve around that? Your life will begin to be changed. You'll begin to live it out in your life. That we think, well, I believe in God. I'm going to have eternal life. But do you truly believe? That's the key factor, is believing it. Like I've talked to you before, if there's a box over there that had $1 million in it and they said all you have to do to receive it is walk over there and grab it, you'd run over there and grab it. If you truly believed it was in there. If you truly believed, in the same way with the Father, with God, if you truly believed the plans he had for you, the way you'd run towards them. If you truly believe he was going to heal you, the way you'd start living differently. If you truly believe the way he was going to set you free, what he was going to do in your life, you'd start changing so many different things. And that's the thing about this. It's about beginning to realize and know, going from believing to knowing. That believing really means that you know something, that you begin to act on it. That words without actions are dead. Faith without action is dead. So if you say you believe in something, you say you believe in the Father, begin to walk it out in your life. Begin to have the action in your life that follows your faith, that God can do so many things. He took what Satan tried to destroy and he used it for good. That Satan tried to destroy Samson, tried to destroy the plan that God had for Samson's life, and look what he did in the end. That his will and his plan still came to pass. That no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've believed in the past, that it's never too late. That people could have looked at Samson and said, wow, he really messed up this time. I thought God had big plans for his life, but he messed it all up. You know what? But there was still a chance for him to turn back to God. There was still that time left. He wasn't dead yet, that he could still turn his life over to the Lord. When he returned to God, God returned to him his strength. Think about that. That when he began to return his life to God, that God began to give him strength back. In his weakness, God showed his power, and when he was weak, he became strong. You know, guys, God can use your mistakes for his purpose. I know you guys might think I'm perfect, but I had a lot of mistakes in my life. I know my wife thought I was perfect, so this is a big shock for her. But no, I look at the mistakes that I made, the mistakes I should have never done, but how God can take your past and use it for good. That it's not about saying, hey, I'm going to go through something bad so God can use it. No. No, you may die going through that. But it's about God saying, okay, Satan tried to destroy you. Satan tried to do something to kill you in your life. But you know what? Watch how I turn this on him. Watch how I begin to turn this and use it for my glory. That God wants to use what you've been through to help others. He wants to use what you've been through to strengthen you for the future. What a great God we have. That the world uses your weaknesses and your past against you, but God will use it for you. Think about that. The great love that God has, the great love that he gives to us. We need to realize that our strength comes from him. So let's use all our strengths for him. That if we know where our life comes from, he gives us breath in our lives. That if it comes from him, why don't we begin to use it for him? But instead, like Samson did, his strength came from God, but he used it for himself. But the awesome part of that story is, before he died, he realized what his strength was for. That his strength that was given to him wasn't for himself. It wasn't about him, but it was about using it for the Father. He'd rather die for Christ than to live for himself. He had a past, but he didn't let that keep him from his future. Satan will try to lie to you. He'll tell you, you've done this, you've done that, you'll never be worthy enough, you'll never be good enough. But I tell you what, you never will be. But with God, he can get you there. We'll never be good enough. We'll never know enough, but it's about letting God lead you. It's about letting God have control over your life. You know, Samson showed no inward holiness. He lived for himself and can care less what he did, but he died for holiness. Think about that. Your whole life, you could have lived for yourself. You could have showed nothing of God in your life and ended up dying for holiness. What a merciful God we have. How I've seen people on their deathbed that's lived a life of destruction, lived a life for themselves, never for God. And God will put you in the path of that person and you watch tears come down their face and you watch them give their life to the Lord at the last moments of their life, that they've lived this whole life against God. And when death is looking them in the face, God's still a merciful God. Because he knows the position of your heart. He knows the character of your heart. That how it brings me to tears to go, wow. That you could come against him your whole life. And in that last moment, turn to him. Just like the man on the cross next to him. That he says, you know what? I'll see you in paradise. I'll see you in paradise. that how merciful our God is, that it doesn't matter what we've been through. Satan will lie to you. He'll lie to you over and over again. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to what he says. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's never too late to change your ways and turn to Christ. It's never too late, no matter where you've been. God used a man that looked unlikely to do anything for God and gave him a gracious end. A man that people looked at, wow, he's gone against everything that he was born to be for. He's gone against everything God wanted him to do. But God still used him. What is Samson remembered for? When you think of Samson, you think of a man known for sinning. You think of a man known for following after the lust of a woman. You do. You think of Samson, you think, wow, a man that fell after the lusts of the world and lost his strength. His whole life revolved around his weakness with unholy woman and pride. And how many people fall from this daily? How many people fall from this daily? But one picture I see in this, why was the reason that he fell? One, as we talked about, it was him living for himself and not for Christ. But he wasn't crucifying his flesh daily. That Christ says to crucify your flesh daily, to pick up your cross and live for him. Daily. That he wasn't praying daily. He only spent time with the Father when he needed something. When he needed something in his life. When problems occurred is when he went to him. But what kind of relationship is that? What kind of relationship is it when you go to him when you need something? Guys, dealing with your own flaws. He was wasted potential. Each and every one of you, if you don't follow after what God has for your life, you're wasted potential. Because you all, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are, have potential to do something for Christ. Isn't that awesome? That you have potential to do something for Christ. No matter how young or old you are, that you still have the potential to do something for him. He left what God had for him, fell into deception, dishonored his parents, defiled his purity, and lost his power. He failed so many times, but still was able to be used by God. Today, you may have your flaws, but don't let that hold you back for what God has for you. Don't let it hold you back for what God has for you. You know, I used to think I wasn't good enough to preach. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't know enough. I wasn't holy enough. I thought, why would anyone want to come hear me? Then God said, they won't be coming to hear you. They'll be coming to hear me. That it's not about ourselves. It's not about what we think we can accomplish in our lives. Because I tell you what, I can't stand up here and say anything to you that'll change your life. I can't say anything to you that'll touch you. But it's God that steps in and moves the hearts of his people. It's God that steps in and begins to do something and change your life. Don't worry who you think you are. Because who you think you are doesn't matter. But it's who you truly are in God. It's who you are in Christ is all that matters. Maybe you say, I'm not that smart. Maybe you say, I can't speak very well. Maybe you have all these things going through your head that you think is the reason God can't use you. But those very weaknesses are the reason God wants to use you. Because then those around you know that it didn't come from you, but the power and strength came from God, our Creator. That people can look at me. Remember in middle school, I got the Shy Award. They didn't even have that award, but they came up with it for me because I was that shy. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't speak. I still can't read very well. But the difference, and I can even watch it, of trying to speak to someone, trying to say things, that sometimes I can be in the middle of a conversation and tell you a story, and I have no idea where I was going with that story. But then when the Spirit of God comes in and works in your life, how things begin to flow. How your life begins to flow out differently. How everything in your life begins to flow together. That there doesn't mean problems won't come, because I tell you what, when you begin to crucify yourself and give your life for Christ, those are when the problems begin to come. Those are when the tests and trials begin to come against you, because Satan goes, you know what? He's still weak. I'm going to get him while he's weak. I'm going to attack him now before he gets strong and realizes what kind of power he can have. What kind of power God has for his life. The things that God wants to do in his life, I need to stop him from getting there. Because Satan's down there going, you know what? This person can destroy my kingdom. Satan's like, this person can destroy what I'm trying to do if he figures out the power he has at his hands. If he figures out what God really wants to do with his or her life. That he begins to attack you before you get to where you need to be. And you know what? The more you're attacked, the stronger you become. As long as you continue with God. As long as you continue to follow forward. As long as you stop caring about everything else. A lot of time our pride gets in the way. Well, I can't do that. Do you know what people will think of me? Forget what people will think of you. It says to boast in your trials. When things come against you, the thing that's awesome is you can go, okay, I wonder what kind of big plans God has for me. That Satan would want to attack me this hard, God must have something big coming. That God must have something greater than I can see. That you begin to go, wow, what does God have? How much stronger will I be afterwards? A lot of times you don't see yourself growing towards God, but the problem is you don't also see yourself when you're falling away from God. A year down the road, what do people think of you? Wow, he or she's really gotten close to God. You can see a change in their life. Or do they look at you and go, wow, how close they were to God. Look at them now. What happened? I don't want to be that person. I want to be the one that they go, wow, look what God's doing through him. I know that person, and they could never get through that. They could never do that themselves. That you know God's working through them. That you know God's changing their life, changing their heart. Don't be a prisoner any longer to the sin in your life. Talk about those pillars. Push those pillars down and destroy them. So many times we become a prisoner to things in our life, to the sin in our life, that we never give it up. We never move forward for God. Sometimes the greatest punishments come with the greatest deliverances simultaneously. That the greatest punishment that Samson had was the greatest deliverance that he ever had in his life. That it says because of that punishment, because of him dying, that he was able to kill more in that short time than he did in his entire life for God. That sometimes we may go through something so hard that we say, why would God allow me to go through that? Why would this happen to me? But sometimes the outcome is so much greater. Sometimes it's so much greater. Job lost everything. Every single thing he had in his life. Lost family, lost his fortune. See, he was the richest of the rich and lost it all. But he would have never lost it. He would have never had the greatest stuff that he had in his life. He would have never received what God blessed him even more with. That sometimes we look at the situation as being bad, but don't realize what God has for us to come. We fall so hard to only find what we've been looking for. In closing, guys, I said earlier, a lot of times we try to search for something ourselves. A lot of times we try to do it on our own. That pride comes, and before you know it, we fall. And I praise God for my failures. I praise God for letting me fall. Because if I would have never fallen, I would have never found who I was in Christ. If I would have never fallen, I would have never gotten to become who God wants me to become. And I'll never become who God wants me to become. But a lot of times we find who we are in our failures. We fall so hard to only find what we've been looking for. That a lot of times we're looking at things around us to make us happy. We're looking at things of the world to give us joy and peace. To realize it was in front of us the whole time. To realize it was God there before us the whole time. God is, guys, it starts with discipline. And discipline comes by the love of God. that you love God so much that you begin to discipline your flesh. That you begin to crucify your flesh out of your love for God. Begin to learn discipline. Don't be like Samson, where you crucify yourself once. Do it daily. He crucified himself at the end. He finally said, it's no longer I who live, but God, I want you to live today. I want you to live through me. Crucify yourself daily and not be like Samson. The crucifixion of your flesh will bring you to somewhere new in the spirit. It'll bring you to somewhere you've never been. It'll change your heart, and a changed heart will change the outcome of your life. A changed heart will change the outcome in your life. So many times we're trying to change the outcome in our life, but really what we need to do is take a step back and change our heart. Change where our heart is, where our heart's positioned. He will deliver the enemy into his hands just like he did Samson. And with this, the enemy may have won the battle, but God wins the war. The enemy may have tried to take you down, may have tried to kill you, may have tried to take so many things from you. Yes, maybe the enemy won that battle, but begin to stand up as Samson did and let God win the war. Amen.
Let's pray. We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.